Welcome back to Southeastern Ohio's Outdoor Show. I'm Chuck Berry. My co-host is Don Big Daddy Pegath.
Hey,
and,
Chuck.
In the house with us tonight is Mike Greenlee, the District 4 head fish squeezer.
There you go.
So
I think that was perfect.
Instead of that long title they get, Chelsea's title, I mean, you couldn't write on that whole wall there. I mean, it's crazy. Anyways, Mike, we're also wanting to talk about some things going on that you guys are doing out at Dillon again. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, Dillon's one of our district lakes that we conduct surveys on under a fisheries survey system we call IMS, Inland Management System. And basically it's just a systematic way that we conduct surveys of species-specific surveys on our reservoirs to monitor populations, collect information that we can then use to evaluate regulations, stocking programs, and so on. And Dillon happens to be one of our what we call intensive reservoirs that we sample every year. All of our reservoirs cycle on a six-year basis. Some are sampled every year, like Dillon, which is an intensive reservoir. There's fewer of those in the state. Some we do surveys on every 2 years, 3 years, and so on. So we're in there every year looking basically at the entire sport fish population through electrofishing and netting surveys, as well as conducting angler surveys about every other year. Those are surveys where we actually interview the anglers and gather information about their catch, how long they're fishing, what species they like to fish for, and so on. And these intensive reservoirs, there's several across the state, are sort of reference points for the other reservoirs, and we're able to get a lot more detailed information or better trend information by sampling them every year because of their characteristics, maybe the type of reservoir they are. They represent a sort of a certain classification of reservoir. So I thought I'd take a few moments here and highlight some of the survey information.
Oh, yeah.
And share that with the anglers about this local reservoir here in the backyard of Zanesville. There are two species that we stock in that lake on an annual basis to sustain their populations, and we stock those because they do not naturally reproduce in that reservoir, and that's hybrid striped bass and sawguy. We stock sawguy at a fingerling stage, about 3/4 of an inch long when they're stocked in the spring. And Dillon has a lot of forage in it, and the sawguy grow great there that first year. The challenge with sawguy in that reservoir is, as I mentioned in the Blue Cats, they want to swim downstream, but they do contribute to a nice tailwater fishery there. Anglers like to catch them in the tailwater during the cool seasons of the month, so that provides opportunities there, as well as fish moving downstream into the Muskingum and the various locks and dams there that are popular fishing locations. And our last netting survey that we did there last year, 43% of the sawguy were over 15 inches. So that kind of gives you a perspective of how many fish we do have of size that, you know, maybe anglers would keep there. So good growth rates on sawguy there. We're stocking every year. We do have some fish that are of harvestable size. These fish are also creating a tailwater fishery and contributing to the Muskingum River. For hybrid striped bass, we stock those fish as well in the spring at 50 fingerlings per acre. That's our program lake rate for our inland lakes. And 14% of the hybrids caught in the last survey were 18 inches, were over 18 inches long, with the largest measuring in the 23-inch range.
That's a nice fish.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And if you've ever caught one of those, they are a handful. We call them white lightning because of the way they fight. And Dillon ranks third in sizes of hybrid striped bass over 18 inches compared to our other inland hybrid striped bass lakes. Moving on to largemouth bass, this lake is a very good bass lake, especially for the tournament angler. We get a lot of tournaments on that lake, and in our last creel survey, angler survey that we did there, 37% of the anglers interviewed said they were fishing for black bass. So very high percentage of anglers fishing for black bass. So it shows the importance of that. And in our survey, we don't see a lot of high numbers, what we consider trophy category bass. Doesn't boast real high numbers of those size fish, but it consistently produces good numbers of largemouth in the 12 to 16 inch range, which is a good size fish. You catch them 15, 16 inches, and if you can bring back a limit of those to the weigh-in, it makes a tournament angler pretty happy.
Oh, for sure.
And so, so good bass lake, a good channel catfish lake too. We're doing a statewide research project on channel catfish, and we've been collecting information on that lake as well. And there are excellent numbers of fish in the 16 to 20 inch range in that lake. As far as panfish, it's a decent crappie lake. We have both white and black crappies there. White is the predominant species. And in our last netting surveys, 31% of the white crappie and 14% of the black crappie sample were of harvestable size, over 9 inches. We have a 9-inch minimum length limit on there, that lake, as well as three others in our district. And so it's a pretty decent white crappie lake as well. So here close to home, it's a good all-around lake, a lot of opportunities there.
It does sound like a lot of opportunities, and it's kind of neat to hear it broke down in the percentages of which ones are, you know, legal take size and stuff like that.
Right.
I know this is a little bit off the thing. I had someone ask me, Chuck, I'm going to start a pond at my place, and I think a lot of people maybe just think, okay, you get a hold of one of the, sellers and order up such and such fish, and you're good. But Mike, there's a lot of work, some habitat stuff, and they need feeder fish. And let's talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chuck. Really, the best place to start is constructing the pond properly. I won't say often, but sometimes a pond may be constructed in a way that it's not deep enough or doesn't have the right sloping shoreline to prevent excess growth of vegetation, or maybe not big enough to support and sustain a fish population without a lot of extra effort. So, taking the time, do your homework, leaning on some expertise in the county. NRCS, SWCD offices have a lot of expertise on soil sites and those kinds of things, knowing the criteria of soils that's needed for a good pond that doesn't become a leaky pond, and then proper sizing of the pond to the site and watershed to surface area ratios, all those criteria that make a good pond. In general, from a sport fishing standpoint, ideally, if you can build a pond that's closer to an acre, the better. A pond that size will be able to sustain fishing better, and then when you design a pond, think of shoreline too. Instead of making a perfect circle out of your pond, try to develop edge effect through a sinuous shoreline if the soil and the site will allow you to do that. And then the proper depth too. You don't want to end up with a pond that's less than 6 feet deep. It'll end up being more of a wetland than a fishing pond. You want at least a quarter of the surface area of that basin in 8 feet of water, at least at this latitude, for good depth. And you don't want something that's really steep-sided that won't have a lot of habitat. Rooted aquatic plants are important habitat in ponds, and so you want some of that growth. You just don't want it all the way across the pond. So the slope of the shoreline coming down into deeper water is very important. The recommendations are like a 3-to-1 slope. So the pond construction aspect is really where most people don't think of that. They think, the quick way to a good fishing pond is a good stocking. But doing your homework and building the pond properly at the proper site, if your site will even allow it to be built, is the most important thing. And then once you get a good pond built and fills with water, then think about stocking the right species. We recommend largemouth bass, bluegill, and channel catfish, and maybe red ear as well. All four of those species do well in ponds in Ohio, and there's stocking ratios that you need to start those populations. We have a pond management publication that's available free, and it's also on our website that people can get by calling a district office or going to our website. It's also on our website, and it gives all this information at your fingertips.
Again, Mike, thanks for being with us. Some amazing information. We did learn something again. And the other thing, too, is I would invite people to re-listen to this show Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on our AM 1240. Again, Mike, I appreciate you coming over. We're going to take a break and let our sponsors have a chance to holler at you. You're listening to Southeastern Ohio's Outdoor Show on Highway 103.